Hi, I'm Austin, and this is Hort-Bajir Chronicles.
Chadu jump and scatter in the early light of Mother Sky. Their chitters echo through the canopy. A Hort-Bajir brachiates through the thick, tangled branches with ease, landing in a ray of sunlight that manages to break through the top of the trees. Nate, you want to describe your character?
Yeah, my character is a regular-looking Hort-Bajir. He's, I guess, Hort-Bajir average height, which is, I don't know, 7.5 feet tall. he's got 3 spikes. The primary difference how he stands out is he has strands of multicolored leaves from all kinds of different trees that have been strung together on thin pieces of grass or vines and are tied to his horns. So it kind of gives him it's like the illusion of having a sort of like a wig on, but it's a rustly, leafy thing. It goes about halfway down his neck.
And as you land and pause here for just a second in the sunlight, another Hort-Bajir lands next to you. It's your friend Ori. He's regular Hort-Bajir too, about the same height, but he doesn't have these leaves strung from his blades. But he looks at you and his beak twists into a smile. You ready for day pick?
Let's go.
Yes, yes. We go lounge in sun. We eat sticks with canoid moss on them.
Pick like sound of this.
Yes, yes. And he jumps and grabs a branch and starts to swing away.
I'll follow.
As you all are swinging, he says, maybe you play music by river.
Maybe.
We not go back to... to tribe, we not go back to tree. They want us harvest bark. Ori no like harvest bark.
We harvest bark for our eating.
Yes, just for us.
And kind of to emphasize that, as we're passing a tree, I'm going to cut off just whatever. I don't even know what tree we're on. Just cut off a piece and chomp on whatever the bark is.
Yeah, he sees you do that, and he like swings up and like. Grips onto a tree and uses his elbow blade to cut some off and starts to eat it too and rejoins you. Ori's always been the kind of Hort-Bajir that just wants to lounge around. He shrugs off the things that the elders say and doesn't really want to do his part for the tribe or the clan overall. He thinks every day is a good day to lounge and eat the sticks that have fallen to the ground that grow the canoid moss on them.
I think Pick is the type of Hort-Bajir who is easily convinced to shirk duties.
Hell yeah. What a team.
Yeah. the asshole and the guy that likes to be bossed around by assholes.
Yeah, he takes you down to this spot that he knows.
Paradise City. Oh.
Yeah, the Paradise. But it's a spot by a river. And
yeah.
He takes you down there. And as soon as he lands, he just... lays down, puts his back on a tree, takes a drink of the river, and starts to chew on these sticks.
Okay. Is this a spot we've come before?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say you all probably come here when you can break away without anybody knowing.
Then there's probably already a tree nearby that's got... maybe it's got a couple of branches with some vines strung up on them and is slightly hollowed out. So that it reverberates. Not nearly as big or as loud as the main tree that we use for sending communications back at our great tree. But yeah, Pick is just going to kind of land nestled among the branches that hold the strings and lazily kind of pluck on the strings and thump his tail against the trunk to make a little music.
As you do this, you see Ori down on the ground, like he crosses his Hort-Bajir talons and just starts to waggle his foot at the music and nod his head as he eats. He throws you up a stick with the canoid moss on it.
Perfect. Oh, good. I was expecting that. I reach out and I grab it. Don't even miss a beat. And stick it in my beak, and I'm not even holding it, just kind of holding it in the beak and continuing to aimlessly pluck on my vines and hollowed out trunk.
Hell yeah. A little bit of time passes, and Ori, as he's been chewing on these sticks, he starts to get tired and dozes off and starts to take a late morning nap. While this happens, you want to roll me a perception check?
Sure. I'll take that dirty 20.
You are strumming away and, you know, kind of like looking around, just enjoying the scenery. And way, way up high, you notice through the treetops, you catch a peek at Mother Sky. And you see a faint twinkle and like the fluffy air that is scattered throughout Mother Sky swirl. And you see something shoot across and out of your line of vision. The thick branches like obscure it, and you can't see it anymore, but you did see it like shoot away. It's not like the flowers in the sky that you see at nighttime, the bright flowers. It's something else.
Is it also bright?
It does shimmer.
Okay. Yeah, Pick is going to kind of like crane his neck around the tree to see if he can follow where it went.
As you like kind of look around, you see like another gap in the trees, and you see the whatever the object was just shoot again. And it's out of your line of vision now.
Ori! Huh? I'm going to like grab a stick and like throw it at his head. Bah! Ori!
Why do that, Pick?
Something new.
What new?
Like Chadu, but Sky, Mother Sky Flower, but so fast.
So fast. We catch.
Yes. And then Pick starts like taking off.
Yeah, he climbs up the tree and takes off with you.
And then over his shoulder, he just yells, "Follow, Pick."
Yes, yes. Roll me an athletics check as you move through these trees. Hell yeah.
Only a 10.
As you like go to take off, you like one of your elbow blades gets caught in like the strings, and it slows you up a little bit. So Pit catches up to you.
Fuck up my tree guitar.
You just one string. It's not too hard to fix later.
Damn, the G string. It's the hardest one to get.
Hell yeah. Back. It's the hardest one to find. Oh, wait a minute.
Whoa.
Yeah. You do manage to like start to climb up and get to the top of like the canopy almost, where you can peek out into Mother Sky. But unfortunately, you've lost.
It's long gone.
You've lost it. You just don't see it. Roll me another perception check.
Okay.
And Ori's going to help
you. Was it going in a straight line, or was it like zigzagging?
It seemed to be going pretty straight.
Okay. 17.
17. So you don't find it in the sky. You look around, don't see it, but something else catches your eye.
What?
You like look back down to Ori, like just for a second to see where he is. And you notice something strange on the ground. It's a giant, shiny ball with a dim blinking light on it, just sitting there waiting in a fallen tree. This tree that is on the ground, just laid down, the big, big ball is embedded into the side, into it, and just sitting there.
Embedded into the side?
Like it fell down and cracked into it. And the tree was like a little bit hollow inside it.
Pick is going to kind of, he's going to stop. I guess he's like, it's an abrupt stop though. Like, so at the top of a tree, he's going to kind of like catch himself and just kind of sway back and forth and waiting for Ori. So he can gesture to Ori to like come up with him.
Yeah, he's been like keeping up with you and like looking through the sky for what you talked about, and he like jumps onto the branch you're on, and like as you're hanging, he's just on top of it and he's like looking down. He said, "Why stop, Pick?"
"No, see, Mother Sky Flower Chadu.
Oh,
gone. But find shiny fruit?
Shiny fruit.
And he points.
Ah, that big fruit.
Making lights.
It's strange for fruit. Because
it's blinking, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Let's try peel and eat.
Try eat? Yes. Okay.
He just...
I don't know if there's a Hork-Bajir high five.
He had tails hit.
Nice.
He just drops down.
We race down, yeah. Racing him to try to get down faster.
Hell yeah, athletics check. We'll see who gets there first.
I got a 16 that time. God damn.
With a 21, you're like grabbing the branches and like dropping down, catching yourself and, you know, slowing your descent. So you don't fucking smack into the ground. Or he just falls straight down and just
like a lawn dart.
Yeah. He lands in front of this big spear and like leans in and puts his claws on it and just runs him down. And it makes a sound like you've never heard before. It hurts your ears. And he like stops like abruptly. But yeah, you eventually get down there with him. He's too hard.
He's trying it with his claws. I'm going to try it with a blade. Like probably my knee blade, I would think, is one of my hardest ones. Like the strongest blade. So I'm going to try it with that.
Give me an attack roll.
It's a 13 or a 13. You tell me which one's better.
Let's go with 13.
Okay. All right. Lucky 13.
You dig your knee blade in, and it does like run down it, and it makes that same sound, but it leaves like a scrape in it, but it doesn't peel open the peeling of this fruit that you see.
Pick's just gonna kind of look at Ori and go, hard fruit.
Hard fruit.
Hard fruit's very sweet, and he just hits it again.
Yes, and he does the same thing. As you both just smack into this thing, it just leaves like dents and scrapes on it, but it doesn't open up. And as you're doing this, roll me a perception check.
I am focused on this thing.
Yeah, you are, and you're so focused on it, you don't even notice that you step in the wrong spot, and this hollow tree, just the bark on it that you step on cracks, and you fall down and into it.
Fully down, or like just one leg in?
You fall one leg in and one leg's out, but it's pretty deep into it. Like, it's about 5 feet down. So, like, you're kind of at a weird angle. But, you, I mean, you can easily get out. You're a Hork-Bajir, but...
I scramble out, kind of embarrassed.
As you, like, start to scramble out, you hear something from behind you inside the hollow tree.
Oh. I stick my head down. Inside the hole. Once I get out, like, the hole that my leg was in, I just stick my head down it. Not all the way, not like an idiot, but like... Well, kind of like an idiot. I just want to kind of, like, see it first.
You come almost face-to-face with a creature you've never seen before. It has blue fur and big, beady black eyes. It leans to, like, one side, and one of its arms is shorter than the other. It has a satchel, what you all call Hork-Bajorns. It has that strapped around, but it's not made of like vines and leaves. It's made of some other kind of material, and it's just strapped around its chest, and it like looks at you wide-eyed.
I just look back, kind of hanging upside down in this hole, and then pull my head out and kind of hit Ori.
What?
Ori.
I open fruit.
Yes?
I mean, I try.
Okay. Peek was excited. He's still just going to town on it. Mm-hmm. Like in Street Fighter 2 when you're punching the car. He's just doing that.
Yep.
Okay. Ori, there's a monster.
Monster?
Animal.
From Father Deep.
Peek, not know. Inside. And he points at the hole.
He like peeks around you, but like kind of stays back a little bit.
What the heck that? What that?
What the feck? That's a Hork-Bajir curse. And then Pick is just shrugging like,
You think it, their fruit?
That fruit, it, that, maybe it know how to peel.
Pick's gonna stick his head back through the hole and just right at the mysterious blue lopsided creature is gonna go,
"You peel fruit?"
"Oh, what is fruit? That is not fruit."
"Fruit, big fruit."
"No, that is not fruit." And you hear this thing, it's talking to you and you can understand it. You haven't met anything but a Hork-Bajir that you can talk to and understand.
Pick's pulling his head back out of the hole and just going,
"Or are you talking?"
It talk.
"Oh." Pick just shrugs again. Like, he's all shrugs.
Tell it to come out and show us how to get in fruit.
"It say not fruit."
It's fruit. Look at it.
"It's fruit, right?"
"Yes."
"Fruit." Okay. Pick puts his head back in and goes, "Come out." And then pulls his head back out again.
As you like pull out, this thing puts one of its hands up. And you notice it doesn't have any blades, but it pushes itself up awkwardly back onto the top of this tree and looks at you both.
I'm looking back. I don't know what Ori's doing, but I'm just looking back.
"Peel?"
And I point at the fruit.
"It does not peel."
"Oh, you crack."
With enough strength, it will crack. But that, okay. It, I need this.
"You hungry?" "We hungry. We share."
"I am hungry. I do not know if you can eat this."
"We break. We crack. We eat."
And then Pick just goes to town on it. No. Again. He starts hitting it again.
"Please, no. Do not. Do not crack."
"How eating if no crack?" Pick is like, "You idiot." Like, Pick rarely feels like he has the upper hand in an intellectual discussion here. So he's really pushing the advantage.
Listen. This provide me food.
"Provide us food. We fine.
I...
sharing."
He gestures up. "Fruit up there for you." And you see like these big yellow pods that grow from this tree above. You've had those fruits before. They're pretty sweet.
"But this here does not make food for your kind."
Pick is having a lot of trouble with this. He's really, like, he knows that those yellow ones are good. But he's like, "But this could be so much better." And he's not understanding how there could be food for someone but not him. You know what I mean? Unless it's like, "You eat all the food?
You too small. We eat some."
He looks at you and he says, And he like leans his body back into the stump. And when he comes out, he pulls out this thick cream-colored grub, like a bug, and you see it wiggle in his hand. And he like offers it over to you. "You eat?"
"No."
"Watch this."
And he eats the grub.
"Something wrong."
"We're different. Different bodies. Different food."
"Yes." Pick can see.
"Yes." And he like points up and he says,
I'm just imagining the Ged like giving these Hork-Bajir the talk. Like, "When your body's going through strange changes,
it some you get new feelings and
maybe Hork-Bajir with two horns looking pretty special.
This your friend? Worry." "You, unfortunately, I die if I do not get my food. Just like you."
"Yes. Eating good for living. Pick know this. Ori know this."
"Ori know."
Nice.
"We eat many, so much living."
"I tell you what, you help me, and I will help you."
"You need help breaking open? Maybe we push off tree, it break on ground, and we scoop up
no.
grubs?"
This thing give food. just like the tree give you pod.
Growing? The growing food?
Similar.
Like bark?
Yes.
And then, like, to demonstrate it, like, cut a piece of bark off the trunk we're standing on and go, like, how are you cutting this?
Yes, yes. Very close. Very close to this.
Big head hurt.
How about I tell you how to help, and you help? And then you try food.
Or he, like, leans into you.
Maybe we help.
For food, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, so to get my food out of here, we need to clear. We need to hollow out the rest of this tree.
Oh. Like making Thump Wallop.
Yes. What's Thump Wallop?
And then, like, the hollow area that we're on, I kind of just drum a little bit. Like I'm hitting, like, one of my drumming trees, you know.
Yeah, it starts to, like, make some noise, and through the tree, it, like, reverberates and has, like, a nice little sound.
Better when tree up.
Yes.
But we making bigger.
Yes.
More deep sound.
Yes, yes, yes.
Carry further. Longer distance.
You got it.
Further trees.
You help with that, we get food from fruit.
And he gestures.
Pick has interpreted this to mean he needs help making a long distance call. And Pick is going to help him make the tree loud enough to make a longer distance call. Pick is down with this. He's like, yeah, okay. Got it, man. I could. That's a worthy, noble effort, and I can get food out of it. Makes perfect sense now.
Yes. My name is Lin.
Lin.
Close. I believe your mouth that make hard to say.
Hmm. In.
Okay. And you?
Torpazir, thumbs up. Pick.
Pick.
Ori.
Ori. And he says, Ori. Yes, Pick and Ori. Yes, let's begin.
Pick have head leaves.
Yes, different.
Easy to tell.
Okay, I got you. It's beautiful. I will tell you that.
He just pushes it out of his face. All right, yeah, Pick gets down to the tree, like, just straight down in and starts slicing up at the back of it to make the hollow larger.
And while you do that, Lin, this Ged, starts to... He's still messing with the fruit, and you see that in certain spots he can get part of this fruit open. Like, he twists part of it, and the bark of the fruit, or, like, the peel of the fruit comes off, and you see inside... And there's more lights in there, and these, like, strange multicolored vines just stringing through it.
Every time he's doing that, I'm, like, looking to see if he's eating part of it. Like, I'm trying not to look, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm not, like, really looking, but, like, I'm checking. Because I bet those vines are pretty tasty.
You see him, he does not ever, like, put anything into his mouth, but Ori, like, you catch Ori looking, too, and he says... He going to eat when we're not looking.
He waiting for us not to look.
Yes.
I think same thing.
Fick him.
He say he's so hungry, but he not eating.
Yeah, what's wrong?
Very stupid.
Yeah, I go get one of these pots. Do not tell him I go.
Get me one.
Yes, yes.
One pot. Also,
he, like, climbs up out of the tree and scurries away. Like, you see Lin look over his shoulder at him.
Your friend does not want to help anymore.
He making pork bajir water from body.
Ah, I've heard of this. Pick my people. There is more of me, so we must clear out a large enough area for all of my people to eat.
Living in Dumpwallop?
Yes.
Okay. start cutting again. So I think Pick is doing this thing where like he's working and then Lynn talks and he like stops and like looks. Okay. And then cuts some more and then Lynn talks some more and he's like, yeah, yes. And then cuts some more. So that, just picture that the whole time Lynn is talking. That's fine.
He'll be working and he doesn't stop working as he talks to you. Like he'll be messing with this fruit thing. And he says,
we are stranded here and all of our tools, all of our things are broken.
Our things.
Our things. That's how we say it.
Yeah, it's an alien word. I get it.
We cannot survive out here without this. And he like pats the big ball. Without this and the tree.
But it... Pick never see more than you. Only one. How many? So many, but never see one.
We are new. New to this place.
Okay.
Cut.
But because we are not from here, we cannot move around so easily.
Yes, you know climbing good.
No. Not good at all.
I'm walking slow on ground. You should maybe have blades. It's good for climb.
I wish. Maybe one day I will have blades. Just like yours.
You should try.
I will.
Much better body. You're small. No tail. No beak. Can't eat bark.
You're right. Ever since I have seen your kind, Pig, I would want a body like yours.
He just brushes his leaves out of his face again.
But my people, they are close by, but I am the first one to reach our fruit. It fell. It got away from us.
It rolled downhill.
Yes.
Fall into Father Deep.
Oh, what is Father?
Cannot get fruit then, it go into monsters.
There are monsters in Father Deep. What is Father Deep?
Father Deep.
Maybe Pick show me one day.
Pick not like Father Deep. Father Deep, danger. I've Jabba Jabba and monsters. It's bad.
This is very interesting, Pick.
Yes. Cut.
Lynn, get down here first to make it safe for the rest of his people.
Pick considers that.
People not safe?
Without food, people not safe.
But many food.
And he like just gestures at all of the trees.
So eating bark, eating pods, many food, no eating nasty grubs.
Cannot reach the pods.
I get pods. You need pods?
That may be, yeah, maybe. I think that would help.
Actually, so really quick, would Ori, I think if we hung out, I think Ori would have learned a little bit of the communication stuff. Mm-hmm. So Ori's too far away for me to yell. But I'm going to hop out and just hop on top of the trunk real quick and actually play it a little bit to communicate, bring extra. Just a series of drumming noises on the outside of the lug, but loud. It's not going to be loud enough to like carry very far, but Ori should be able to hear it. He's not, you know, he's just up a tree. I mean, hopefully he'll understand that I'm playing this particular set of rhythms for a reason. Pick goes back down in the tree after drumming for 20 seconds or whatever, and just goes, "More pods coming." And just kind of like smiles, like Hork Bajir smile. Like, I handled it.
Lynn looks at you confused, and like he does not know what that means, so he just thinks you just smacked on the tree. And
yeah, like I got a wild hair at my Hork Bajir ass, and I had to go up there, and I just had to get out the rhythm, and I'm back. Good.
But yeah, he doesn't think too much into it. He'll like keep talking to you and just like going over things and you know, small talk for the most part. But while you work, let's go ahead and do a mini skills challenge.
Sure.
Tell me how you're, what you want to do to start to carve this tree out more.
So I think that carving out a thump wallop comes in three stages. You do basically just like power attacks with the strong blades, your knee blades and your tail blades, on the center part of the trunk to kind of chip away at it and loosen it up, and then kind of like get a big area of like rough wood, like ready to be cut out.
Okay.
All right, let me do it with the tail, since that'll represent my strong one. Great. Not good. It's a six.
So, like, you're down here in this partly hollowed out tree, and you're trying to strike it with your tail, but you don't have a lot of room in here to like cock it back and hit it. So you are like busting up parts of the top of the tree with this.
It's also, so this is a downed tree, right? So usually we would be doing this on a tree that is upright. Mm-hmm. So this is very alien and foreign to me that we, it's all sideways. It's weird.
Yeah.
So I'm not used to it.
You do still like make some headway, but it takes you way longer than it normally would. And this tree is a pretty long one. It's about, for Nate to know, it's like 100 feet like long.
Yeah.
So, but
long. Okay. It's not as long as I thought it would be. That's fine.
It's only part of the tree. It's not like a full tree. So that probably makes it shorter.
So step two is where we would actually dig out all of the wood from the center that we've roughed up. Now we're kind of like digging it out. And then when it's vertical, this is more like actually scooping out chips of wood, breaking off any of the little jagged pieces. But for me, it's going to be kind of like just raking my claws down the side. That'll be, how about survival? Because it's just like digging.
Survival works.
Yeah, baby! That's a 24.
Hell yeah.
All right.
Exactly how you wanted it to work.
I'm getting the hang of this sideways business. In fact, in some ways, this is even easier.
Yeah, you don't have to like hang on at the same time.
Yeah, so this is not bad. And then stage three is, like I was saying, kind of getting the wrist blades and the elbow blades involved and like really just rounding out the outside edge of what, at this point, we kind of have like, would have like a bowl shape. We got to make it into like a cylinder. So we're scraping out the bottom. 15.
The day has grown like into like early evening, and Ori has been back and he has like extra of these pods, and you all have taken a break right before you finished this part of it and refilled. And Lynn does eat some of this, some of these pods that you got, and it helps him. But yeah, you eventually finish carving out this tree.
Is that the whole skills challenge? That was only three.
Yep.
It feels like really light work.
Yeah.
Compared to other Austin skills challenges.
This was a chill one. And you're a Hork-Bajir, okay. So you know
it's how a, to do it's it. A chills challenge.
Chills got it. Challenge.
Yeah.
Dude, I want to incorporate more chills challenges into the game.
Yeah, we need some chills challenges. Wait till we get back to D&DV, man. Zach and Cameron are going to have a chills challenge.
As you finish, Lynn thanks you. Thank you both for all the help you have given. Now, I will show you how Lynn feed. Where the food come from. This fruit. He goes back over to the big ball.
Pick hangs back and kind of like nudges Ori. He's like, I bet we get some of fruit.
I'll try.
We help him with tree.
Yes. He shall share. We good, Hork-Bajir.
I bet he give us small piece.
That.
We shared pods.
That bastard only give. Sorry.
Whoa.
Ori. I know we're not supposed to say, but I don't care.
He's small and weak. He's fine.
He ficked me off.
What?
Oh, sorry.
I killed him.
Lynn turns part of this peel. He just grabs, like, it looks like a circle, and he just grabs it and starts to turn it. And it comes off when he turns it a few times. And when he does, he reaches in, moves his hand around inside it, and then this strange liquid that you've never seen before starts to drain out of the fruit and begins to fill the hollowed out tree. This liquid is like a strange gray ooze. And as it begins to fill the tree, Lin pulls out a vine from inside the ball and he starts to stretch it out through the tree. And he gets all the way to like the midpoint of the tree, and this vine begins to like glow a red color.
Do we make a ledge in here?
Yeah. Like you.
Okay. Because yeah. I'm picturing, you understand, I'm picturing just a hollowed out tree trunk.
Yep.
Okay. But inside of it, there's like some ledges. Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty wide tree. So yeah, you could definitely do that. So as like this liquid begins to fill the hollowed out tree, Lin says, must wait for the nutrients to fill the water. And then I will feed.
Pick is just standing on the side looking concerned. Like, this is crazy.
It, a lot of new things happening, Pick. For me and for you.
He's kind of offended that, like, all of his hard work is being filled with this sludge, too. Like, he's a little bit like, bro.
It will be worth it, Pick.
Pick's just, like, making an unhappy face. I don't think he's saying anything. And, like, looking at Ori, like, to kind of double-check, like, is this for real? You know what I mean? Like, just looking, but you know what I mean? Like, that kind of, like, are you seeing this?
Ori, like, leans down and puts a finger in the liquid, and when he brings it up, it is, like, thick on his finger, on his claw. And he, like, ugh! Disgust!
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think Pick's going to say anything yet. He's just kind of watching.
Come, Pick. We leave this trunk. And he, like, starts to climb out.
Yeah. Pick going. Bye. It's like leaves, like backs out.
Lin will climb up, too, and he'll say,
wait. We wish to thank you, my friends. They will be here soon. And you have saved us all with this, and they will reward you.
Pick liking rewards.
Ori like rewards, too.
Okay. We wait. But Pick wait outside. And Pick like leaves because he's grossed out, I think, by this liquid.
Lin will actually stay outside with you and he'll say,
we should eat, have more of the pods.
Pick not hungry.
Ori hungry.
Maybe only a little.
Ori have extra.
I'll break into a pod. I guess we just cut one of these open and I'll slice into a pod and share it out.
Yeah, and eventually, after a little bit more time, the liquid in this tree has significantly like filled it. It's still going. There's like a reddish purplish glow coming off of the liquid now every now and then, and it does start to like boil a little bit, like move and undulate. You hear rustling come from above you. And as Mother Sky is fading, the light from Mother Sky is fading, there are more beings like Lin slowly moving down from the trees.
It is my people.
Pick stands and kind of brushes his claws off on his legs.
And the first one finally gets down to the tree and like makes his way over skittishly towards you and like Ori, but he sees Lin and kind of trusts. Lin says,
ah, Akdor, this is Pick and Ori. They have helped me carve out this tree for our food.
And you see him kind of knowingly nod.
And we may eat these in the meantime.
And he lifts up one of the pods towards him. And you see Akdor he's a little bit gaunt. Like, he's a little bit skinnier than Lin is. And looks like he hasn't had any food in a while. And as more of these creatures start to like show up, you see that they're skinny too, and they look pretty hungry.
Do we have enough pods for everybody, or do we need to go get more?
You probably, as like they start to show up, this is a lot more than you had even expected. And yeah, you would need more pods.
I think that we are very familiar with the concept of going, like, feeding people. Let's go, so Ori and I, like, oh, I'll pick we'll look at Ori and just be like, we go more pods for friends.
Yes.
And then, like, just kind of, like, hustles over to a tree and just kind of starts climbing it kind of double pace. Not, like, running, but, like, pretty quick.
Ori follows as well, and you guys pass other Ged as you move up. You get up there, and you and Ori are starting to harvest these pods.
A lot of new friends come out of nowhere.
Maybe smell food. Maybe they drinking gross water. Smell it.
That is gross. Smell of old. When you leave leaves out in water, and when you make water and you shit in them, yes. It's gross.
It's bad. No liking. But maybe they're eating.
It's strange.
Pick just kind of shrugs.
No, what Jabba Jabba consume, what Jabba Jabba eat. Maybe the same as Jabba Jabba.
Jabba Jabba eat Hork Bajir.
Shit. Hope not same as Jabba Jabba.
Bit too small.
Yes, yes. Roll me a perception check.
Hey, that nat 20, baby. I can pixies his impending doom.
Well, it's funny you say that. You notice higher in the trees, there's something else that you have never seen before. It's a huge object, the same material as the metal or the fruit down in the tree, but it has a opening in the side of it. There are slabs of this shiny bark on the front of it that you can kind of see through inside, and you can definitely see through that big hole in the side of it.
And it's just floating there, or it's suspended in the branches?
Suspended in the branches.
Okay. Just for Nate, this is a crash ship.
Yes.
Okay. Pick sees that and kind of hits Ori.
Yeah, already got. I got it. I got this one. And he pulls one of the pods down.
No, Ori, look.
And pick gestures.
What the fuck that?
It may be where friends were.
Oh. How I get there?
Maybe growing like fruit?
Hmm. Maybe we try to eat.
Look like house.
Wait, do Hork Bajir have houses?
Yeah, you all have, like, you carve out some parts of the trees and stuff.
It looked like house with door. Maybe we looking inside, see if more friends.
Yes, yes.
So yeah, I'll sort of like do a controlled drop of the pods that I have to like put them down at the base of the tree. And gesture for Ori to do the same, and then we'll make our way over to that tree and climb up and try to inspect this thing.
Yeah, Ori follows you, but like a little bit more timid than he has been all day. But yeah, you guys get up to there, and you can peer into the side of this house, and you look in, and you see more a manner of things that you have never seen before, like a whole bunch of things. There looks like those wires or those vines are in here just scattered around.
Oh, as soon as I see one, I'm gonna bite it.
You run in and you bite one, or you grab one of these wires or these vines and bite into it, and you get a shock that runs through like your body. You take,
I spit it out.
You take 3 lightning damage.
I tell Ori, tastes bad.
I'd be the judge of that. And he bites into one too, and he also takes some damage.
When he does it, he goes, you like? Ow. Try again, maybe you like more.
Well, if you're sure. And he goes back in and takes another bite.
Wasn't expecting that to work.
Oh, all right. No. Don't. I know, like.
Taste of mouth.
It tastes like when Mother Sky crashed down and you're too close.
You know how when you get struck by lightning? You know that happens? Alright. Alright, so we keep looking around.
Give me investigation check.
Okay, 11.
It seems like there's still stuff in here. Like there's, you can open, if you, are you going inside the thing? Or just looking around on the outside?
I mean, I was peering in. I also had a question, like, when I'm getting up there to it, or putting our hands on it, is it ringing, like in that empty, hollow, metallic sound?
Yeah, like you'll hit it and it'll be like, a soft echo through.
I'm definitely noticing that and considering things to do with that later. But yeah, no, when we are peering in, if we can't see much, I guess we'll go inside.
Well, yeah, you can't see much at first. You do take like a little step in, and this thing, it doesn't like fully shift under your weight, but you can tell it is like, it could fall, like with enough strength. You don't think that you could do it by yourself without like really trying, but yeah. With your investigation check, I'll say the first thing you notice is one of these creatures that is the same as Lynn, lying on the ground.
Friend.
Oh, friend, he sleep.
Okay, yeah, I run over. Well, tiptoe over and kind of try to shake him a little bit, wake him up.
You shake him and he just still lays there.
Pick recoils. Maybe not sleep, Ori.
A deep sleep.
Maybe not sleep, Ori.
Oh, I get what you mean.
Should bring to Lynn.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Pick doesn't really want to, but he will cradle the body very carefully, because there's not a lot of ways that he can hold this thing without slicing it up. Is it small enough I can support it with one hand?
Yeah.
Then I'm going to take one last look around the ship. Well, the place. And do I see anything else of note?
Give me another investigation check as you like look around.
15.
You notice that there is this, as you like lean down to pick up this body underneath, like it's a chair for Nate to know, but this object that just sits in the middle of this place, there is a small spherical object that has like a green light blinking on it.
Ori. Get fruit. And he points.
Ah, no fruit. And he reaches down, picks it up. And he like looks it over. What fruit is this?
Pick no, but bring to Lynn.
And as you all move towards the hole to go back down, you hear from the fruit.
We are in or out now.
Fruit talk.
Fruit talk or have many small people inside?
If people ain't, let Ori know so he get you out.
Please repeat that.
Ori say, if little people in fruit, let know, we get you out, I say. No communication back. What mean?
Friends trapped in fruit, maybe. Lynn, no.
Ori break open?
May hurt people.
She.
Feck.
All right, we take to Lynn. He puts it in his little bag.
His hork bajorn.
Big hork bajorn.
Me go down now.
And you guys make it back to Lynn, and you see these creatures are all, like, have split open the pods and are eating them.
Pick tries to approach, like, respectfully and slowly. And very, like, it's very Cyclops holding Jean Grey. I'm holding this kid.
Yeah, and you walk up to Lynn, and he, like, looks at you, and his little black eyes are a little bit wider, and all of the other Ged are watching you as you, like, pass, you and Ori.
Found friend up there. And he kind of, he can't point because he's holding the Ged, but he, like, just looks with his face.
And it's pretty high, like, the ship was pretty high up, so it's, like, you have to, like, crane your neck to, like, see around branches to see it, but yeah, you point up towards it, or look up towards it. And he says,
yes, my people have lost many in our trip here, our journey here. This is one of the casualties. We will bury him.
Okay. And then Pick will, like, hold his hand out for the thing from Ori.
Yeah, Ori reaches into his bag and puts it in your hand.
We find fruit with friends inside.
He looks confused at you.
Ah. Pick is also looking real confused, so this is great.
Yes, I will take that.
Pick really carefully hands it to him, like he doesn't want to shake up the little friends.
And as he takes it, he, like, looks at it and he says,
This is a way for Lynn to communicate with other people that are not nearby. Other friends.
Like, dump wallet.
Is that what you were doing?
And then I immediately start drumming. I'm really just saying stuff like, whatever the, like, opening communication stuff is. It wouldn't be hello, but yeah. It'd be like, can you hear me? That kind of thing. So I'm just playing, like, a really basic greeting, essentially, but yeah. I'm just to demonstrate.
Or he nods at it. Yeah, I understand.
Interesting.
Can make also with vines. No vines here. Or very hard to do, but blowing through stick. Sometime making good sound.
This, I will show you how it works.
And he'll say, come in to the little metallic fruit that you guys have.
Pick immediately goes down into the trunk.
And then you hear, like, as he watches you, and you hear the fruit say again,
we have coordinates. We are on the way.
Yes, we have made new friends here.
That is very good. See you soon.
And he looks back to you and smiles, like, as you're down in the tree, like, as this, now this liquid has pretty much filled right up to the ledge that you're standing on.
So he's not coming down in here?
He's not. He's, like, looks, like, down towards you.
You said come in.
Ah, I was coming in? I was talking to the fruit.
It cannot come in. It's fruit.
Right, right. Pick, you and Ori have been a tremendous help to us, to my people. It's time for your reward.
Ooh, okay.
Ori, you too. This is Actor. You go with Actor. He will give you your reward, but you come with me. Pick.
Good, okay, yes. He's got his hands out like he's waiting for some fruit or something. Or bark.
Well, he walks with you. He says, follow.
Okay.
And he, like, takes you away from this group of Geds and all the noise and just to talk to you for a minute. And he says,
Pick, we would like to show our appreciation now. But first, I'm afraid that I must ask you for one more favor.
Okay.
He reaches into his Hork Bajorn and he pulls out a curved shiny object with an opening at the end of it. And it looks like it has, like, switches on it. The same kind of things that you saw on the big spherical ball.
The favor I need from you,
and he, like, points this thing towards you, is to bleed. And then you feel something slam into your head from above, and a white light engulfs your vision. You're staggered, and as the white light starts to fade and you just hear ringing in your head, you see Lynn still pointing this thing at you, slowly backs away and around a tree, and other figures start to surround you. You like glance down and notice that there's this huge rock laying on the ground next to you, which must have been what hit you in the head. Go ahead and roll initiative. So in this moment, as you're being surrounded, Pick, you get to act.
All right. My first instinct is to do something that will effectively call for help. So I'm going to do Sonic Boom. If there's a tree behind me, I guess that's what I'm going to use. It can be heard up to 100 feet away, so it's a burst of thunderous music. Each creature within range other than you must succeed on a Constitution saving throw.
And how many feet away from you is it?
It just says within range. Range is 5 feet. All right, we'll do Sonic Wave instead. All right, I'm going to swing up into the tree and then kind of drop down in between these three geds.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to, just to be as loud as I can, I'm going to play this. I'm going to use as many materials as I can. So I'm going to use three materials instead of just one. So this will do 4d8 Constitution saving throw.
The other two didn't. So the first one takes half damage. The other two take
full. Yep, so this is going to be 4d8. Two of them take 15 and they're pushed back 10 feet. The other one takes 7 and is not pushed. So in a sort of whirlwind, I have to jump up into the trees. I'm going to grab a couple of sticks. There's one that I find that is pretty hollow. Like, it's a dead limb, so it's kind of hollowed out a little bit. And then the other one is a nice strong one. And I'm going to rattle them together, like, really, really loud.
Yeah, and there you see, like, this, them being so close, and their ears just aren't used to this kind of noise. And they, as you do it, they, like, clutch their heads, and, like, some of their ears start to bleed. And they're, like, blown back by, like, just the reverberation. And they all fall to the ground.
You know, I think I'm hitting it against the sides of my spikes too, just to kind of like give it a really like rattling against the three horns on my head, just to kind of, it's a whole thing. Yeah,
but yeah, they look just sprawled out on the ground now. But as you look around, this ged runs up to you. He's gonna swing a club at you. 13,
that hits.
5 bludgeoning damage. This one runs up to here, stops for a second, and picks up a heavy stick off the ground and just takes another step towards you. Same with this one. They don't move very well. Your turn.
Well, that was effective, so I'm going to do it again.
Hell yeah.
Second verse, same as the first. This time I'm going to get even crazier, though. I'm hitting my knee blades. I'm raking this thing, these two limbs across my forehead. I'm sorry, my head spikes. Hitting the opposite elbow blades. Even banging my wrist blades together. The whole thing.
Hell yeah. All of them failed.
They all bombed their cons. Alright, I'm going to do another 48. Oh, shit. I thought it was great for a second, but two of them were once.
It's still all of them. It's
still better than it was the first time.
All of them slumped. As you like gain a little bit of reprieve as you're knocking all these geds back, you notice that Ori is also being jumped on, and they're kind of beating him down too.
Yeah, I'm running straight for him.
He's on the other side of the tree over here.
Okay. I mean, I'm using my full movement, so whatever I can do.
And as you get right there, more geds start to crawl up out of this tree.
Dang.
He uses his movement to get here, and this one just going to step up, try to swing at you. He doesn't have a club. But that's a crit.
Holy shit.
You take 2.
That 1+0 bludgeoning.
This one also will move up and hit you, try to hit you as well. 15?
That'll do it.
That'll be 1.
All right.
This one's going to awkwardly climb up this sphere, and he can only get to right here. But this one, as he climbs out, he points another one of those things that Lynn had towards you. Go ahead and make me a dexterity save. That will fail.
Big surprise.
You take 12 points of force damage. It's non-lethal. Oof. This one will get right here, but he can't move anymore. All of these ones will start beating down on Ori. And he says, pick! Pick!
Ori!
They do eat Orc Bajir.
Your turn.
Climb!
Yes.
I don't want any attacks of opportunity, so I'm going to just do a Sonic Boom.
Hell yeah. If it ain't broke.
Sonic Boom. No, that was Sonic Wave. Oh, yeah. Doing this cantrip right now.
All right, cool, cool.
So this is a Constitution saving throw on anyone within 5 feet. So just these first two here.
All right. One of them passes.
Yeah, barely.
We'll say the one right in front of you fails.
Okay, so he takes nothing. But the other one takes 3d6. 10.
Falls to the ground as his ears bleed.
I kind of want to, like, step on this Ged's head to climb up. The one that's in front of me. Yeah. And then I want to just move.
He is going to take an opportunity attack.
Okay.
18.
Well, that'll do it.
One damage.
Bastard. All right, so I am break-eating again.
And you won't take any other opportunity attacks because they're lower than you.
Yeah. All right, so I am above these Geds now.
You do look around and you see other Geds, but none of them are an immediate threat right now. But
I didn't know if he was fully surrounded or what.
We'll say he's up against like a tree right here. The Geds are moving towards you, so they will, like, get to you eventually. But, like, as of right now, these are the threats. The Geds turn, so this one will point this beam again, or this object again at you. And make another dex save.
Fuck yeah. Needed that nat 20.
This beam shoots at you, and normally you would take half damage, but I'm going to say you pull yourself all the way up and the beam completely misses you and just hits the tree and like pieces of bark just explode out. As you get here and Ori sees you and you told him to move, he's going to like jump up and start to climb. He will take opportunity attacks from four of the Ged. Two of them hit him. So he takes two damage and he's like up with you now. Well, yeah, these Ged, I'm going to say he's up there. You're pretty high up too. They'll pick up like these the pods that you brought to them. They're gonna start throwing these up towards you.
Oh,
how rude!
Rude.
First one, 6. That don't hit. I'm gonna say
no. It does not hit. Sorry.
3 of them are gonna throw at you. 2 of them are gonna throw at Ori. So second one against you, 15.
That hits.
Third one against you, 7.
Yep. So I got one hit.
4 bludgeoning.
Wow. Rude.
It's your turn.
I'm going to drop down to right in between all of them, and I'm going to use one more Sonic Wave. 5 con saves.
One of them passes.
Oh, one of them got a 0.
Yeah. He gets blown back 20 feet.
Nice.
I'll say he even hits another Ged and causes him more damage. Oh, it doesn't matter. You're going to knock them all out probably.
Oh, yeah. They're all dead.
Yep.
21. Me and Ori need to run. I'm telling him to run.
Ori! Home tree!
Yeah. Yes. You run too. Pick, come.
We out.
As you all begin to run, this Ged with the thing pointed at you takes another shot, and he lines it up to where it's going to try to hit you and Ori. So he'll roll a dex save as well. Ori fails.
Ah, good. We both failed.
Yep.
Incredible.
10 more force damage.
It's exactly what I had.
You both fall to the ground, and Ori tries to push himself back up, and he looks at you, and he says, pick! But he just passes out, and as you're, like, your head's reeling, and you, like, roll over to your back, you see above you Lynn as your vision goes dark. When you start to wake up, the scene is startling. Your arms, legs, and tail are all restrained. Or you're lying on the tree that you carved out. And you see Ori next to you. He has these metal vines wrapped around his arms, legs, and tail as well. And you also see Lynn and some other Ged. But they're cowering in a cage made from sticks and vines. Lynn has a look of fear and panic in his eyes, and his eyes meet yours. And slowly, he looks down and defeated. You then notice that your head is leaning over the hole in the tree that you helped carve out. Ori tries to say something, but his beak is tied shut. And yours is too. A Ged wobbles over to you, one you have seen before. It's Akdor. He has a grin on his face, these flat teeth in his mouth, and he grabs your head with both hands and forces it towards the liquid. You resist, but he pushes harder and harder, and your beak enters this liquid, and it's cold as it bubbles up into your face and eyes. And then the rest of your head is pushed under. All kinds of thoughts running through. Nate, what are Pick's last thought as a free Hork-Bajir?
Panic. The last thoughts he has are... I mean, he's thinking of the notes that he would play to call for help.
As those notes play in your head, it's fully submerged into the liquid. A few seconds after it is, you feel a tickle where your ear is, and then something squirm and squish its way in. A sharp pain hits you, and it moves its way in through your head and is constant. You can feel whatever this is moving inside you and spreading. The pain eventually begins to dull. You try to shake your head, but realize it won't move. It doesn't do what you tell it. You then realize you can't control any part of your body. And then in your mind, you hear a voice.
Hello, Pick. I'm Simtaf 123. And you're mine now.
Hey, Austin, I hate this.